This is Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. Everything you need to know about the six-time NLL champions, Toronto Rock. Now, here's your host, Mike Hancock.
We are going streaking, Rock fans. Two in a row, and it wasn't just a win, but it was a statement. The Rock defeated the Rochester Nighthawks 17-6 on Saturday night at Air Canada Centre. And while the Rocks still have a mountain to climb, they can now see the teams ahead of them in the race for an East Division playoff spot. The Rock have another bye week on the schedule, so since we're at the halfway point of the season, 2 months in and two to go, we're going to do a little reflecting later on in the show with Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and ILIndoor.com, the mid-season shannies, if you will, on the program today. Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction will stop by and we'll see if he has a couple of more winners for us this week. We'll also chat with Rock defender Sandy Chapman and the scorer of six, Rock forward Casey Bearns, will stop by. Batting leadoff, though, on this episode of Toronto Rock Total Access is the head coach of the Toronto Rock, John Lovell. He's on the line with us now. Hello, JL. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm a lot better this week, Michael. A little bit better each week, so I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you know, obviously, a big win makes everybody feel just a little bit better, like you said. And you know, that first quarter on Saturday night must have reminded you a bit of that tiebreaker game in last year's playoffs. The ball was going in the net seemingly with ease in the first quarter, and really throughout the game. And you guys also got great goaltending at the other end. Just talk about your general impressions on Saturday night's win.
Well, I thought we played closer to a complete package that we've been looking for. It's as good as I've seen our offense all year in terms of moving the ball and moving their feet and finding good shots and good looks throughout. So it was great in that regard. And I thought we were a very difficult team to play against defensively, and that's what we've always been looking for. And so, you know, when your special teams are doing what they're doing too during that game, and Rosie's making some saves for us, we were a pretty good package on Saturday night.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Casey Bearns here. He obviously struggled a little bit to begin the season. He was even scratched for a game. He only had 4 goals in his first 5 games, but now has 9 goals in his last 2 games, including 6 on Saturday night. Why has he turned things around here?
Well, he's a good player, and I think rather than pout or sulk or feel sorry for himself, he's worked very hard in practice. And I thought really the turning point for me, just seeing his play and it reminded me how hard he played last year, was just this game against Buffalo. You know, I know he got 3 goals and that's what people look to first, but I look to things like him, you know, going to tough areas to get loose balls and setting hard picks and driving the middle of the floor and those kinds of things. And I saw him play a really hard game against Buffalo, and that reminded me of the way he played all of last year. And I think that just carried in, got him a little bit more confident, and it carried into the game Saturday night.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the offensive group really as a whole right now. And, you know, what's going right for this group as a whole? I mean, Josh Sanderson obviously has been inserted into things the last couple of games. Dan Lintner has looked pretty good as well in a complimentary scoring role. What is it that has got this offensive group turned around?
Well, I think we had the pieces there. We're just finding chemistry. And, Collins had a good season so far. I think it started off a little slow, and there were some growing pains with playing with some new players and so on. But you know, Josh has certainly helped our team, and Steph has just still been the same guy, going to the net hard, getting his looks, setting hard picks. Dan Lintner has been a breath of fresh air here in the last 3 or 4 games in terms of his ability to go hard to the net, and if teams are looking off him, he seems to get open, and I know he's not racking up a lot of goals, but he's making defenses aware of him. He's they're tired trying to keep up with him, and I think that's helped Casey to a degree. And then Robbie's found his game. It's always been pretty solid, but he certainly is more comfortable in what he's doing out there and shooting the ball a lot more. So, you know, I don't think there's any one thing. I think it's just the case of that these guys have worked hard in practice the last 3 or 4 weeks, and, you know, it's starting to pay some dividends in games.
Now, you did mention a complete game, so let's go through all facets of things, and let's talk a little bit about the defense here. Since the defensive coaching change, you know, the first game after the change on the back end on the bench, 17 goals against, and then down to 12, and then now down to 6 here on Saturday night. Maybe just talk a little bit about, too, what the change has been on the defensive side, and obviously a couple of pretty good goaltending performances also thrown in the mix there.
Well, let's start with goaltending. I think we're getting some saves when we needed it, but I think mostly in defense it's just been more consistent. You know, we kind of went back to the basics and basic fundamentals of how we want to play, and not only as individuals, but you know, in terms of the way we handle things as a team. I think there's been a lot of discussion with our group there between myself and Matt and the defensive guys themselves. And, you know, each week we seem to address other issues and other problems that we've had in the past. And so it was nice to see some of it kick in on Saturday night, because that's as hard as I've seen our guys play. And you know, and when I say hard, not only in terms of hard work, but we were difficult guys to play against. We were in people's faces and making it tough for them to get good looks. And you know, when they did, Rosie made some saves. So I think it's a combination of all those things have started to come together. And now it's a matter of continuing it, because what's hurt us in the past is those bad runs. And, you know, we certainly didn't have one of those on Saturday night.
And when you talk about Nick Rose, maybe his best game in the NLL, if not one of his best on Saturday night, is he the guy you're going to ride right now?
Well, I think so, Mike. You know, I told him before the Buffalo game, like, we've tried lots of things, and you know, Brandon has a little bit of a nagging injury, so it was, you know, it was an opportunity for Rosie to grab the net here and see what he could do with it. And I think he started in Buffalo. He played a great game against Buffalo, and the other night against Rochester is one of those games where you look at Rosie and he's reading shooters, he's moving at the right time, he's not just being that you know, big blocker that he normally is. He was stepping into shooters and reading the play very well, and I don't know if, as you said, I don't think I've ever seen him on top of his game in terms of that.
We're currently in conversation with Toronto Rock head coach John Lovell. And JL, when we look at what's going on with the roster, it's always something all fans love to keep an eye on. Brett Hickey is eligible to come off the IR prior to the Rock's next home game on March 11th, next game on the schedule overall, of course. And Rob Marshall hasn't played the last two games. You know, everything seems to be going very well right now. Is there, you know, maybe a bit of a thought to go with the old adage of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? What do you do here with the lineup with, you know, a veteran defender waiting in the wings to get back in the lineup, and also, you know, a 50-goal scorer on the IR, but possibly healthy to come back for the next game?
Well, I think it's a nice problem to have, I guess, in that we have those options. Brett Hickey has been a good player for us this year, and certainly, you know, what he did for us last year. So Brett will get back in. You know, Rob Marshall, he will also get back in at some point, because I believe in him, and he's been a big part of this team for years, so they'll both get their opportunities. I like our lineup right now. I like the way we're going, but it's 2 weeks till we play again, and a lot of things can change in that time.
And you talk about these bye weeks here, and there's going to be, it's going to be an interesting month, I think, overall, just in how, you know, players are managed. And, you know, there's obviously the portion of the roster that's a little bit older and can probably benefit from these bye weeks going into the last month of the season or the last 2 months of the season. But, you know, how do you think this is all going to play out here? Because I think, you know, are you maybe a little bit of the opinion that when you looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year, maybe you didn't like the bye weeks, but maybe now it's not so bad that, you know, you're going to have a chance to have these guys play and then get, you know, 2 weeks off in between games before a pretty heavy schedule in April?
Well, you know, our schedule is what it is. I mean, when I first saw it, I didn't like it, and I still don't like it. You know, the fact that we have an off weekend this week and then two home games the following week is not the best for our team. You know, in a perfect world, we like to be playing this weekend at home and next weekend at the following week at home. But it is what it is. So the bye weeks are fine, but the bye weeks aren't so great when you follow a bye week with a double, and then you have a bye week and you have another double. So it makes no sense to me, our schedule. But as I said, it is what it is, and we'll deal with it. And I think in a perfect world, I'd like to be playing this weekend again, but it's not the worst thing for us to have this off time. And you know, but we're still going to practice, and we're still going to get a work in, because we, you know, we're still in a big hole here, and we're starting to see a little bit of light. But you know, let's not kid ourselves. We have to put up a lot of wins to get back in this race.
And with these, with the bye weeks and the back-to-backs, like you mentioned, is it going to lead you to possibly manage some of the older guys a little bit differently here in terms of whether or not they're all playing in back-to-back games here?
Again, you know, we just have to see how guys feel and how we get through the game, those games. But, yeah, I guess you know, we're going to have to look at that for sure. But, you know, our guys are also competitors, and they seem to find another another gear in these situations. And I guess we'll just cross that bridge when we get to it. You know, we're not going to look for any farther than, you know, our next game on in 2 weeks on Friday against Calgary.
So probably going to throw this question at everybody on the show here today, but you got a bye week here. What are you going to do away from lacrosse here to enjoy a little bit of time off?
Well, on the weekend, I'll probably watch a game, but I understand that there's going to be the social event of the year in Orangeville this Saturday night when Billy Hostrasser and his dance partner will be entertaining people in Orangeville. So that's going to be an exciting weekend for everybody. And other than that, I just going to spend some time with the family and probably watch a couple of games.
And to provide a little clarity to listeners on that, Billy Hostrasser, Stag and Doe with his fiance, of course, this coming weekend in Orangeville to, again, shed a little light to our listeners on what that's all about. All right, well,
looking forward to a dance contest, I'm sure.
Well, you know what? I'm sure it'll be something else. Like, it'll be one for the ages, I would think, given that, you know, Billy loves to cut a rug, and so does his future wife.
Well, I hope he recovers. He had a little bit of a banged-up elbow there, and I hope that doesn't affect his dance moves.
I'm sure it won't. All right, thanks, Jill. Well, enjoy the bye week, and we'll chat again soon.
Okay, Mike, thank you.
All right, that was Rock head coach John Lovell. Coming up in a moment on the show, we'll have Toronto Rock forward Casey Bierans. But first, be sure to download the new Toronto Rock app and don't forget to check in on game days at Air Canada Centre for a chance to win great prizes just for being at the game. The app also connects you to everything you need to know about the Toronto Rock, always just one touch away. Yeah. Diving back into things, we have Toronto Rock forward Casey Bierans joining us now. Casey, how are you doing?
Doing well today, thanks, Tamer.
Well, six goals on Saturday night. Needless to say, you must have woke up on the right side of the bed on Saturday morning.
Yeah, I guess it was one of those days. I didn't do anything differently, so I'm not sure what really happened.
Now you struggled a little bit during the first month of the season, but you know, nine goals in your last two games. What's changed for you over the last couple of weeks here?
I think it's just us as a group playing entirely better. We've kind of changed our philosophy the last little short while. And you look at our last four games, I think we put up probably on average of 16 goals a game, which is pretty good as an offense. So we've made some adjustments. It's definitely more of a team game that's going on now that we're playing, and it's really showing to work.
Now, speaking of overcoming some struggles, you and Rob Marshall, close friends off the floor as well as longtime teammates here. He's been scratched the last couple of games. What's it been like for you as a teammate, though, seeing him struggle a little bit, kind of in his own right this season?
Hey, him and I have been in the same boat all year. I was scratched early in the season, and And so I know where he feels. It's never a good thing to sit. It's never a good thing. That feeling doesn't go away. It does make you work harder, so it's good to see how hard he's working at practice. Like I said, it happened to me, so just continuing to enforce that we just got to stick with the process and hopefully things work out to our end. So in this league, you never know. You're only as good as your last shift, so that's hard for people to understand, but it's the way it works. You have people waiting there for your job all the time, and it's tough. It's a hard mental thing to get away with, and obviously Rob will be going through it's a mental frustration right now, and it's just trying to overcome that, which is tough.
Now, one thing that has definitely gone the right way, like you said, is the offensive group functioning pretty well. And a lot of people will point right at Josh Sanderson and his return a couple of weeks ago to some of that turnaround on the offensive side. But, you know, just in your opinion, how much has Josh Sanderson's return impacted everyone else's game?
Bringing Josh, but he brings an element again. Obviously, he's a big playmaker, right? And it probably goes to showing his numbers so far and it's since his return. But that's been part of our change in recognizing the strengths of our players and what we're good at. And obviously we got Josh and Colin. We have two of the best feeders probably that have ever played the game in this league. So we're really taking advantage of that and getting working the ball through their stick a lot, which for my game helps tremendously. And I think it relieves a lot of the pressure off of Rob Hellyer and Hickey. So they're good, effective off ball too. So we need to focus on our strengths, and that's what that we've been doing, and it's been working, so it's been great.
Now, a lot of people have also been pointing towards Dan Lintner working together with you on that side to, you know, maybe make it a little bit easier for you to do your work. What's it been like playing with him?
Yeah, Dan definitely brings an element. I kind of see myself, or I see Dan as a younger me in a way. He prefers to work off the ball. The thing right now I find that we're benefiting from is he's got the speed. And he's cutting, when he's streaking through, teams, you have to respect that, and they're closing in on him a bit more, which is opening up space for both myself and Robbie and Brett being behind him. So it's good to watch him play. It's great to see him having some success and getting some goals and chipping in, and I guess we all do our part. It makes things a lot easier.
We're currently in conversation with Toronto Rock forward Casey Behrens. And Casey, there's lots of talk around the Rock this year that, you know, is this the last year for Colin Doyle, for Josh Sanderson, for Brandon Miller, and on and on. You know, I know you've probably done some thinking, but how many years do you think you have left in the tank to keep doing this?
If you would have asked me this at the beginning of the season, Hammer, it probably would have been a different answer than what you're going to get now. So, it's like I say, I'll play as long as I'm wanted there and or somewhere, and I want to go out where I feel I'm still playing and competing, and I think at this point I still am. So earlier in the season I would have said probably this could be my last year, but hopefully now if things get on a bit of a roll here and we start to get some success, I'd like to get another year or two. Would be fantastic, but I'm not going to push the envelope on that by any means.
Now, when you look at some of these young guys coming into the league, especially like a Dan Lintner, like you're saying, is reminding you of a young Casey Behrens right now. What are you noticing as the biggest difference with these guys coming into the league now?
Players that come in the league now, I think, are much more mature. A lot of them attended school. They're not coming in as 20-year-olds. They're coming in as 23, 24-year-olds. They got a bit more experience. And also the game at the junior level in Ontario here obviously has changed drastically. And is that much better? So these kids have a lot of good experience playing very competitive, fast-paced lacrosse. That's inevitable. They come in, and fitness is a big thing nowadays. These kids are in shape, and they're real athletes, and it pushes people like myself to try to continue. Obviously, it gets a lot harder when you get commitments and you're older, and the body needs a little more time to rest. But they're coming in, they're in shape, and they're smart ball players. So it's pretty nice to watch.
Now, there are a few more bye weeks on the schedule this year for the Rock than usual, and, you know, there is a handful of players on this team at 35 years of age and older. Are these bye weeks an advantage for you guys, or is it something where, you know, the older guys on the team would kind of like to just keep playing and getting into a rhythm? But, you know, how are you looking at these bye weeks this season?
The bye weeks are always, they're always nice to recharge your batteries. Obviously, the season's a grind. Since it's been gone to 18 games, it becomes even more of a grind. But usually the downside to a bye week is a lot of times that means you're playing a doubleheader some other weekend. So Yeah, they're good. Definitely the rest. I think kind of from my end of it, I enjoy just that weekend away to mentally refresh my mind and spend some time with my family and do some things. This weekend, my son's got a hockey tournament, so it worked out great that I can go watch a bit of hockey, take my mind away from lacrosse for the weekend, and then refocus for the Tuesday practice.
All right, Casey. Well, thanks a lot for taking a few moments to join us here on the program. Enjoy the bye week with your family, and we'll talk again soon.
Will do. Thanks, Tamer.
All right, that was Toronto Rock forward Casey Bearns. It's time for a short break here on the show and a SportsCenter update. But on the other side, we've got Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN, as well as Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction. And immediately following the break, it's Rock defender and all-around good guy Sandy Chapman, all coming up here on Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. Welcome back to Toronto Rock Total Access. I am Mike Hancock, and before we jump back into things, the Rock do have a bye week on the schedule ahead of us here, but then it's lacrosse weekend in the city. A doubleheader in Toronto, Friday, March 11th, with the Calgary Roughnecks in town. It's Country Night, featuring the Boots and Hearts halftime show with Tebe, a chance to win VIP Boots and Hearts tickets, a trip to Nashville also on the line, and more. And then on Sunday afternoon, March the 13th, it's Toronto Sun Autograph Day. Bring down the kids and meet your favorite Toronto Rock players. Tickets for both games are on sale now at TorontoRock.com. Also, don't forget, there are always great seats available at the box office on game days if you're one of those last-minute shoppers. Joining us now on the show, one of the all-time greats to really ever wear a Toronto Rock uniform, defender Sandy Chapman. Chappy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Hammer.
Well, it's been kind of a wild year so far. Up and down, you've had to deal with a bit of change this year, namely just who has been the assistant coach on the bench running the defense. You started the year, obviously, with Dan Lattisseur back there. He was let go a few weeks ago, and Matt Sawyer has stepped in. What is it that Matt Sawyer brings to the bench that's perhaps maybe a little bit different than what Lottie brought?
I think it's just a change, different voice really helped you coming at a different angle, giving you some different pointers that Lottie might not have seen in the same way. So, I mean, he's been really great at communicating with all the guys, letting them know, kind of what the expectations are for everybody. So it's been a change, and it's been something that obviously we've been doing fairly well with.
Now, aside from the change on the bench, there's obviously been a change on the floor as well in the fact that the team's goals against has dropped significantly over the past few weeks. What's been working so well for you guys actually out on the floor?
Great question. I mean, I don't think we changed a whole lot. I think we, once you start to get a little bit of confidence and you start playing a little bit better again, you focus on, whether it's certain little changes, making sure you take a guy, take the low slide away from a guy or take the high slide away, that type of stuff. And then you start playing with confidence, and then I think it kind of builds one after the other. You get one stop, and then, everybody feels like, we can keep on going, keep on rolling. And, with lacrosse, it's such a big game on momentum, and once you feel confident and you got that momentum on your side, it's really, really a great feeling.
Now let's talk a little bit more about this game on Saturday night, and especially the performance of Nick Rose, who's been real good the last couple of weeks in both of the wins. Talk a little bit about his play and just really how good he has been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, for a defense that was definitely struggling there for a little bit, I mean, it makes your decision-making process so much easier when you know the goalie. Rosie has been making some unbelievable saves back there. So even if you do get beat, chances are pretty good right now that he's going to end up making the save. And again, when you need that confidence to go out and make a play, say you do make the wrong decision, that Rosie's going to be able to bail you out every once in a while. And that's huge, especially for a team that was struggling to kind of find stops.
And also, when you look back at the last 2 weeks and the teams that have been on the other side of things in Buffalo and Rochester, and, it must have really felt good to lay a beating on the Nighthawks, especially given the fact that they had already taken the first two games this season against you guys.
Yeah, no, anytime you play against Rochester or Buffalo, those two teams, it's just a great feeling to get a win from them. Because it's just going to be a grind most of the time. I don't think I've played in one of those Rochester games where it hasn't been close in the fourth quarter for quite a while. So, and we know they're a great team too. So to be able to get that one, I think it gives us a lot of confidence. We do have to meet them down the road, that we can definitely play with them. If we play our game, we're a team that can really compete with anybody in this league.
Now, at one point in the game when probably things were a little bit out of reach, the Dawson brothers kind of tried to go to work on Saturday night, and I think Paul sort of grabbed you in a scrum. And, when all that's going on and you're in the middle of it, what are you thinking when 2 6-foot-5 guys who happen to be brothers are trying to grab any Rock player that they can get their hands on?
You're just thinking, like, trying not to, wake the air, poke the bear type thing. Because, I mean, they're obviously just trying to get a spark for the team. And, they're really good at doing it and knowing when they need to try to light a fire under their guys. So at that point, you're just trying to try to walk away, try to grab on, make sure they're not able to start anything or kind of get the emotions going. If you just kind of are able to keep everything calm and cool, it really kind of even puts a bigger damper on that. And they're already down. They're already just looking for something. And if you kind of just walk away from it in a situation like that, I feel like for most teams, it just even deflates them even further.
Now, every young player, it seems, that comes through the Toronto Rock organization, when asked who they look up to, they always seem to say Sandy Chapman. Now, almost without fail, but who did you look up to when you first got into the NLL, and kind of who guided you on, what to do and how to be a pro, and that guided and shaped you into the player that you are today?
Well, there were definitely, those teams when I started were unbelievable with the players they had on. And I think, from understanding what it took to be a pro, I think Jim Veltman was just really unbelievable and how he went about his business, the way he looked at his game, and he really critiqued it. But the one guy that I looked up to in the way he played was a guy by the name of Rod Squire, kind of the same size as me, definitely a lot more offensive skill than I ever had, but just knew what the team needed and kind of was able to fill any role that we really asked of him when I was early in my career. So although he was an offensive guy and when he played summer ball and when he played in the winter, he was more of a D guy, more of a transition, but could play offense if he needed to. And again, it was just a team-first guy who would do anything for anybody on the team, and that's kind of the guy that I looked up to and thought, man, if I could just do what Roddy does, I think I can stay around in this league for a while. So being exposed to him was something that was great for my career.
Now, also, I think a lot of guys would consider you to be a little bit of a floor general, I guess, out there on the defensive side of things. I know you did a little bit of coaching at one time in the Halton Hills minor organization. Is coaching something that you want to get into a little bit more, maybe after your career is done or in the near future again, get back on the bench in some capacity at some level?
I think number one would be obviously my kids' team, so I'll definitely be looking forward to coaching that part of it. But in terms of the actual intense, like competitive, junior and major, I don't know how good I'd necessarily. It definitely takes some time to step back and think about it. I mean, I enjoy the X's and O's part of the game, and when you're playing, you definitely get a lot of that. So it's been enjoyable. I know not helping, but in Brampton, we've been able to kind of have our 2 cents on how we play defense, and that's been really enjoyable playing, being able to come up with some defensive, principles with Corbs and Rubes. So that's been a lot of fun. But in terms of coaching, I'd have to step back after the playing days are done and seeing that kind of how I feel.
Now, you guys have a bye week on the schedule coming up. How do you stay sharp with this extra time off, or is this just a case of getting a chance to rest the old bones here?
It's definitely a chance to rest the old bones. Having said that, though, for a guy who doesn't have a lot of that offensive skill, got to have the stick in my hands a little bit here. Don't want to lose anything that I might have going here. So it'll be a case of, taking it easy at the gym for a few days, but making sure that you get a few good workouts in at the end of the week and over the weekend. But then making sure that you get the stick in your hand for a little bit so that you don't lose whatever we've built up here in the first 2 months of the season.
Yeah, you know, I've kind of always noticed that about you. In terms of a defensive player, I think you're one guy who probably stays out on the floor sometimes longer than anyone else, shooting and whatnot. Where did you pick that up from, or has that just kind of been the old age-old principle and belief that you just always have to have your stick in your hands?
Yeah, just something that I know that I'm not, when I get home, I'm definitely not going to pick it up and play with it. I'm not a stick guy. I don't fiddle around with it at home and kind of work on the shooting strengths, things like that. So figure if I'm at the rink, I better make sure that I put in my time. And I've always battled, particularly when I started playing offense in this league, and I definitely realized that I didn't have the offensive skills that a lot of the guys are lucky enough to have. So anytime I'm at the rink, I got to make sure that I'm trying to maintain whatever I have built up and make sure that I do have that stick going as best as I can.
All right, Trappy, great stuff as always. Thanks again for stopping by, and enjoy the bye week, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks again for having me, Hammer.
All right, that was Toronto Rock defender Sandy Chapman. Still to come in just a few moments, Steve Rapp will join us on the line, but don't forget, there's still some great ticket packages available, including the Rock the Six Ticket Flex Pack, 6 tickets that you can use in any combination for any game. Visit TorontoRock.com and get yours now. Also, download the new Toronto Rock app, and don't forget to check in on game days at Air Canada Centre for a chance to win some great prizes just for being at the game. The app also connects you to everything you need to know about the Toronto Rock, always just one touch away. Joining me now on the program is Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction. Steve, how are things? We're coming off a pretty interesting weekend in the NLL.
Oh, excellent. Things are going well. We had the Toronto Rocket Chair one last week, but Calgary just lost it in overtime against Saskatchewan. So we split, had a dog, so we win a little bit of money. So that's always a good thing.
Not too bad. Well, let's hit the board here. First up, New England, who just seems to keep on winning, goes to Colorado to play the Mammoth, who also just seems to keep on winning. The two top teams in the standings right now go head-to-head at the Loud House in Denver on Saturday night.
Yeah, the game of the week, maybe the game of the early season here, 5-2 New England, surprisingly top of the Eastern Conference, 7-2 Colorado, team many expected to be at the top of the Western Conference. There's a football game gambling theory that you take the better defense and points. So I'm going to go with that here and take New England's form as a small dog on the road. They lead the league in goals against, giving up 76 in just 7 games. That's just under 11 a game. New England's also coming off a bye, so their legs are going to be a little fresher. And not a bet here against Colorado, a very good team. I just like that. It's a defensive dog whenever I can get it. I think I'm getting a team with a great defense and a great matchup here. So I'm going to take the New England Black Wolves plus a little bit of money as a dog on the road.
Interesting. Yeah, it's going to be a real measuring stick, I think, for New England going into that game, especially on the road, just to see if these guys are for real. But next up, Rochester will be looking for a bounce back after the beating they took at Air Canada Centre on Saturday night at the hands of the Toronto Rock. And Calgary already in a dogfight for their playoff lives in the West here. What you got in this one, Steve?
Well, you're right. It's been a bad few weeks for the Rochester Nighthawks. They come into Toronto and they fill our pockets by getting crushed by the Rock. Only scoring 6 goals and 3 of them, and only 3 in the first 3 quarters. The week before that, they scored 8 in a loss to Saskatchewan. They've also had a game where they've scored 8 against Georgia. So we get the picture here. They can struggle to score. So I'm going to lay 1.5 and take back some juice here. Bet that the Roughnecks are pissed that their overtime loss to the defending champion rested home this past weekend. Rochester continues to search for its scoring touch. So I'm going to go with Calgary. I'll lay a little bit of juice as a home favorite. Probably lay 1.5 here, take some juice back, expect Calgary to beat a really struggling Rochester team by a few goals. We're going to go back with Calgary in that one.
All righty, good stuff, Steve. Let's keep things rolling. Thanks as always, and we'll look forward to some more winners next week.
My pleasure, Mike. Have a great week.
That was Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction. This segment is brought to you by Sports Interaction. Betting lines available on all Rock games, as well as major sporting events. Established in 1997 and licensed and regulated in Canada and Jersey, Sports Interaction is a proud sponsor of the Toronto Rock. When we come back on the other side, we'll have Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and, of course, from islandor.com. More to come on Toronto Rock Total Access here on TSN 1050.
Now the script's about to kick off. This party looks whack. Let's take it back to straight hip-hop and start it from scratch. I'm about to bloody this jack up. Everybody get back. That's why my pinnies are bad, because my rhyme's on a red tag.
It's a great time to make it a Mitsubishi. Now get 0% leasing for up to 48 months with up to $3,500 off on select 2016 vehicles for qualified retail customers on approved credit. Plus, head to a Rock game and then visit a Toronto area Mitsubishi dealer for the chance to win a one-year lease on a Rock-branded 2016 Outlander. Conditions apply. Go to gtamitsubishi.ca or visit your Toronto area Mitsubishi dealer for details. Proud sponsors of the Toronto Rock. Mitsubishi, built better, backed better. Welcome back to Toronto Rock Total Access, a week off for The Rock before the big doubleheader weekend on March 11th and 13th. Country Night on the Friday and Autograph Day on the Sunday afternoon. Tickets are available now at TorontoRock.com. Well, since it's the halfway point of the season, 2 months done, 2 months to go, it's the midseason shanties with Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and islandor.com. Shanny, how are things today?
Very good, and I guess it's very good for you guys with The Rock after that huge win on Friday, 17-6. That was pretty impressive.
It absolutely always feels better after a win, and two in a row feels pretty good right now, I think, for everybody, all Toronto Rock fans considered. So we got a lot to get to here. We're going to go through our midseason awards. We're going to start right at the top. The MVP, the reigning man, is Sean Evans. But who do you have as the MVP so far this season?
Well, I think there's not a lot of argument here. Dane Smith is off to like an unbelievable start. He's on a pace to score over 150 points. Yeah, last year you mentioned Sean Evans, who was the MVP last year, set the record with 130 points, and you know, Dane Smith on a pace to crush that. So without a doubt, I'd say the only other person who could be in the argument, I think, right now is Sean Evans, who is kind of flying under the radar because his team has played fewer games than everybody else. But if you look at his average points per game, he's the second best in the league right now, and I think he's also carried that New England team. But I think right now, Dane Smith is the runaway favorite.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting about that situation, but I'm almost leaning towards Sean Evans. And I know that might be crazy because of Dane Smith's season so far, but just the fact that, you know, Evans goes into that New England team and, like, they're legit now. Like, they're
a
contender.
I agree with you.
That's kind of the tough thing here is that Dane Smith is probably going to end up breaking the single season points record, but if Sean Evans can come back, I feel like, and you know, maybe make it a little bit closer in the second half in terms of the points, and his team keeps winning, I kind of almost think that, unfortunately, I think it might have to go with Evans.
That's a good argument for that, because I believe as well that New England would be nowhere near where they are without Sean Evans.
Yep, absolutely. So moving on, top goaltender this year, the usual favorites, not off to maybe the best starts in Matt Vince and Aaron Bold. So who is the goalie of the half season so far for you?
Yeah, I would agree with you there. You know, my first inclination is it is not Matt Vince, and that's a big surprise. But I think you got to go with Evan Kirk right now. Evan Kirk, he's got a 5-1 record. He's got one of the top five goals against average, and I think he's got the best save percentage right now as well. So, again, the goaltender for New England, yeah, he does have the best save percentage. I think you got to give it to him for sure at this point in the season. And you know what? We'll see how things go later. You had to be impressed with Nick Rose in the last few weeks, but, with Toronto Rock's record right now, you know, they're not really in the mix. But right now, Evan Kirk is the runaway favorite as well.
As for the Rookie of the Year, I mean, coming into this season, everybody was so hyped up about this first-round draft class that entered the league this year, and I don't think they've disappointed necessarily. So who do you have so far as Rookie of the Year?
You know, I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite right now. You've got Randy Stats and Westberg each have 42 points, and Jesse King is right behind with 41. And unfortunately, it always seems to go to an offensive player because it's easy to track those guys, and I think that's going to continue. You know, although you know, there's been some defensive players or some transition guys who you can take notice. I think Chad Tutton on the Swarm has played well, and you know, Graham Hossick on Rochester's looked good. But it's really hard to track how well those guys are doing. I'm just going to bet on Jesse King taking it because he's the one who's been getting hottest lately. He's got 10 points in his last game, and it's going to be a race between Berg, Stats, and King, and you never know if Lyle Thompson might turn it on. He's not that far behind with 10 goals, 20 assists for 30 points, but I'm going to put my money on Jesse King.
Yeah, and I like the under-the-radar mention there of Chad Tutton, because I think he has already developed into a player that everybody hates to play against. He's already a difficult guy to play against as a rookie in this league, and I think he's going to be one guy to watch, and I think just see his stock rise, I think, over the next few years, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, as we look, this guy, this next award, maybe not necessarily a rookie, but could be, I guess you could say. But breakout player of the year, who's the guy who's kind of taken that next step this year?
You know what's interesting? I've got two guys on this list, and they got traded for each other. It's Logan Schoesch in Vancouver and Johnny Paulus in playing for Georgia. And you know, the funny thing is, you know, Logan Schoesch has been in the league for 3 years. He won Rookie of the Year. He kind of took a step back last year. He had 73 points as a rookie a couple of years ago. Took a step back last year, a little bit less productive. This year he's on pace to score 100 points, which I think is a great breakout season. And Johnny Paulus, I think because everybody knew he was such a great player, I think you know, a lot of people, you maybe think he's been playing great from the start. And he really has been. You know, he's had a pretty productive career so far, but this year he's on a pace to score 50 goals, which is way better than he's ever done. You know, I think his best season was 30 goals. So I think it's ironic that the two of them are having great seasons and, you know, both coming off, you know, weak season. I think Johnny Paulus only scored 12 goals last year. And, you know, so they both had off seasons last year, bit of turmoil. They got traded for each other, and it looks like they're both having great. I think Logan Schoesch, I'd have to say, is the leader in that category right now, but I think Johnny Paulus is up there as well.
Now, this next award has a really long but fun title. Didn't have a great first half, but look out for him in the second half. Who's that guy?
That's a tough one. I think the guy I'm probably going to go for is Curtis Knight for Edmonton. Curtis Knight, he was the MVP for Edmonton a couple of years ago. Had over 70 points. And missed all of last season with an ACL injury. But you know, I expect more from him. He got a hat trick yesterday for Saskatchewan. I think he's a great player. I've seen him play over the years and seen him play University of La Crosse as well, where he was just a superstar. So I expect that from him too. But you know, a few more guys you might put on that list. You know, you could put Josh Sanderson on that list. He didn't get a lot of points in the first half, mostly because he missed the first six games. But, you know, he's made a big difference for the Toronto Rock since he stepped in the lineup. And you know, so that's kind of unfair to just say that for Josh Sanderson. But I think Curtis Knight is going to be my pick for that one.
All right, now the next two ones are kind of the positive and negative so far of the start of this season. So we'll start maybe more so on the positive side of things, perhaps. But the biggest surprise for you so far?
I think it's New England. What New England's done so far, they're 5-2, and as you mentioned, and I agree, I think it's Sean Evans who made the difference. I'm expecting them to falter, and they're not so far. I mentioned in my power rankings, they've got the worst specialty teams in the NLL. They're number nine in power play and number nine on penalty kill. And I just can't see it lasting, you know, with those stats. Usually, you know, traditionally it's almost always the teams with the best specialty teams are the team that's winning the championships, you know, at the end. And so I don't know how long it can last, but, you know, Sean Evans has got a heart as big as anybody in the NLL. And, you know, they're riding his back right now. So I think that's the great story so far.
He has certainly looked good in a Black Wolves uniform. So on the other side of things, the biggest disappointment for you so far?
Well, I'd say the biggest disappointment has to be Toronto's start. And, you know, it's probably easier saying that now that they've come off with, you know, I think three pretty decent games in a row. And you know, obviously a fantastic game on Friday. They seem to be trending in the right direction right now. But, you know, those first three games of the season, and really, I mean, their first six, but even the first three when they were struggling to, you know, break the seven-goal barrier, it just was not what anyone was expecting. And it, you know, was very disappointed. You know, then when the offense seemed to pick up, the defense struggled. So I like where they're going right now. They seem to be, you know, playing, you know, last Friday, the way the offense moved the ball reminded me of last year. I had not seen the Toronto Rock look like that since last year when everybody was marveling at how well they moved the ball, especially on the power play. I mean, on Friday night, it's not their power play. You know, the ball movement was a clinic. I think any coaching minor team or even pro team should be looking at that saying, this is how you run a power play and this is how you move the ball. But, you know, regardless of how well they played in the last few games, I think their biggest disappointment in the season has to be, you know, the Toronto Rock start. Yeah, I think in their first four games, they never scored more than seven goals. So that wasn't what we expected. And, you know, thankfully they are playing better lacrosse now.
Yes, it has been quite a turnaround over the last couple of weeks, especially on the offensive side. So the next and last award, if I had to pick the winner of the 2016 Champions Cup today, I don't envy you on this one, it would be the...
Well, I'm going to go with the Colorado men, and I just think it seems like people don't want to give them the respect that they are earning with, you know, they're great play. They got the best record in the league, and everybody wants to say, oh, no, it's just Saskatchewan. But, you know, Saskatchewan has been, you know, a little better than mediocre this year. I mean, they're a good team, but they have not been playing great the way we expected. Everybody seems to be so forgiving of Saskatchewan, saying, but they'll be there. So I think you got to give Colorado the respect for what they've done. I mean, this weekend they had a remarkable comeback. You know, I'll give most of the credit to Adam Jones for that, scoring six goals in the fourth quarter. But even for what they did a couple weeks ago, you know, beating Saskatchewan, you know, and Calgary on a weekend, you know, after a couple of losses before that. So I think they had their sort of falter and they've rebounded from it. And right now they're the best team in the league. So I think they deserve to get the nod for the team most likely to win the Champions Cup. But a lot has to go right for that to happen for any team.
We're currently in conversation with Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN, and we've still got a couple of minutes to go here, but maybe focusing back in on the Toronto Rock here and that great effort on Saturday night. Let's just talk about the goaltending here. Nick Rose, is he the guy that the Rock kind of need to ride here until the wheels fall off or they falter in some way?
Well, I think you have to ride him, and I'm not saying they need him to keep doing what he's been doing. For them to win, I think that you know, they've got two capable goaltenders, but you know, any good coach will say when a goalie gets hot, you stick with them, and they will, and you know, I think it was a good call putting him back in the net, and it paid off. But like I said, I think, you know, the Toronto Rock are confident in both their goaltenders, but you know, when you get a guy as hot as Rose is, you know, I thought he made some great saves against, you know, the Buffalo Bandits. I thought he was a big part in that win. You know, and it was the timely saves that, you know, any coach will tell you, it's getting the big saves at the big time that counts. And Rose gave them that against Buffalo. And, you know, this week, you know, facing 58 shots, Toronto Rock was actually outshot, which is shocking. And, you know, he played a good game again. But, you know, I'm confident in Brandon Miller, and I'm sure the coaching staff is too. So when they put him back in, I don't think they'll be worried about that.
So just to wrap up quickly here, really it's the biggest question of the half season so far, and that is, do you believe in this Toronto Rock team now after what's happened over the last few games, and will they make the playoffs?
I do. I really think they will. I'm, you know, the only thing that's really surprised me is that nobody else has faltered, well, other than Rochester, I guess. You know, I've been expecting either Georgia or New England, you know, or both to take a step back, and we really haven't seen that yet. And I think Toronto needs that, but I could see Toronto going on a bit of a run here, and really they need to go on a bit of a run. They can't be playing 500 lacrosse. They've got to be winning at least two of every three on the way back. But the way they're playing now, they look as good as they did any time last year. And I think if they play with that passion, they have a good chance of winning every game they go in. I don't think there's any team that they can't beat. Not to say they will win every game, but they can beat any opponent. There's no one that they should be fearful of.
All right, great stuff, Shanny. Thanks a lot, and we'll chat again next week.
Thanks very much, Mike. Take care.
All right, that was Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and IslandIndoor.com. Now, before we wrap things up on Toronto Rock Total Access, I have to remind everyone about the epic doubleheader weekend coming up, starting off with Friday, March 11th, and the Calgary Roughnecks in town. It's Country Night, featuring the Boots and Hearts halftime show with Tebe. A chance to win VIP Boots and Hearts tickets, a trip to Nashville, and more. And then on Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m., on March the 13th, it's Toronto Sun Autograph Day with the Vancouver Stealth at Air Canada Centre. Bring down the kids and meet your favorite Toronto Rock players. Tickets for both games are on sale now at TorontoRock.com. Also, after each and every Toronto Rock home game, join the Rock players and cheerleaders at Shoeless Joe's, 276 King Street West. It's the home of the Molson Canadian Toronto Rock postgame party. Shoeless Joe's is located at the corner of King Street West and Duncan Street. Rock fans can head to Shoeless Joe's before each and every home game and get 15% off their meal just with the presentation of your game ticket. It's your chance to meet the Rock players and cheerleaders and enjoy an ice-cold Molson Canadian at the postgame party. Thanks to my guests on this week's show, Sandy Chapman, Casey Bearns, John Lovell, Steve Rapp, and Brian Shanahan. In the meantime and in between time, this has been another edition of Toronto Rock Total Access. I'm Mike Hancock, and we'll chat next week.
You've been listening to Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. For the best ticket in town, visit TorontoRock.com and be sure to follow The Rock on Twitter at Toronto Rock LAX. Stop the rock.